Essential Technology for New Solopreneurs by Dan Hersom. Introduction. When you're just starting out as a solo entrepreneur or solopreneur, you don't have a lot of money to spend. I get that. But you also don't want to use a service you'll hate that doesn't work well or won't grow with you. You need to strike a balance between cost and features. This guide is my way of helping you find that balance. It includes the best services I've been able to find, often free, for the budding solopreneur. It doesn't include expensive services if I found a sufficient one that was less expensive, and it also doesn't include just free services when I felt they wouldn't serve you in the long run. I'm always open to a dialogue about why I chose particular services. I intentionally didn't include all the details in order to keep this ebook as short as possible. You can be the judge of how well I did at that. Chapter 1. Buying a Domain. A domain is the address of your website, such as google.com or facebook.com. Buying a domain is like staking a claim on a plot of land on the internet. You can use it to host your website and to have an email address like dan@techmadeplane.com. That's a real address. Feel free to email me with questions. Features to consider: price, renewal price, ease of transfers, privacy, customer service. Recommended: name silo. I've used numerous registrars, most recently Dynadot, but I switched to name silo because of the price. At $8.99 a year, it's the lowest price I've found, and it includes domain privacy and doesn't go up after the first year. A lot of domain registrars advertise extremely low prices, but it's usually just for the first year, and when the price goes up the next year, they make it painful to transfer your domain somewhere else. I recommend not using GoDaddy. I dislike how they try to upsell you at every turn. They're more expensive, their pricing can be misleading, and their advertising is offensive, to say nothing of their support for SOPA. In short, they don't have your best interests at heart. Chapter 2. Web Hosting. Web hosting is the service that delivers your website on the internet. When a person opens your site in their browser, the web browser is talking to your web host. If your web host is down, your website won't load. If you have an online business, setting up a website is a great way to create a place for your potential customers to find out more about you. It's also a location you control, unlike social media sites that can change underneath you without your consent. Features to consider: the single most important feature of a web hosting service is uptime. Nothing else matters if your web host is down and potential customers can't reach your website. The trouble is, it's impossible to tell who will have great uptime in the future. Even if you find one with 100% uptime for the last year, they might have a severe outage next month. So while it's important, the best you could do is look at their history. You can also check for a status page or on Twitter for complaints of downtime. The importance of these features will differ depending on your needs: customer service, price, how many domains are allowed, control panel, bandwidth. Footnote: most web hosts offer unlimited bandwidth, but it's not entirely accurate. They will limit your bandwidth if you use too much. However, if you're running a standard website, it's very unlikely you'll be affected by this. End footnote. Disk space, contract, monthly, yearly, etc., and trial period. Recommendation: HostGator. HostGator's Hatchling program is great if you have one domain. Otherwise, the Baby Plan is a good choice. HostGator has a good customer support. They've been around for a long time, and their hosting service works well. There are plenty of good services out there. The important thing is to choose one to move forward with building your website. If you already have a web host or have heard good things about another service, go for it. You can always switch to another one if you run into problems. Chapter 3. Managing Your Content. Once you have a domain and a web hosting service, your next step is to add content to your website. This used to be an expensive and lengthy process, but WordPress has made it much easier. If you know how to write an email, you'll be able to manage the content on your site. Recommended: WordPress. Most web hosting services, including HostGator, have a one-click WordPress install. This means you can install WordPress yourself. Once it's installed, you can change how the entire site looks with one more click. There are a few thousand free WordPress themes to choose from, or you can buy WordPress themes or pay a designer to make a custom one. The choice is yours. Chapter 4. Web Stats. Web stats tell you how many people are visiting your site, what pages they're looking at, how they're finding your site, and a whole lot more. This helps you understand more about your visitors as well as what areas of your site they're finding useful. I use two services that are complementary. Recommended, Google Analytics and AW Stats. First, Google Analytics. Google Analytics requires a Google account. If you have a Gmail, YouTube, or Google Plus account, you have everything you need. In order to start tracking, you'll need to add some text to the bottom of each page in your site. The text you need can be found in your Google Analytics account, and you can place it in your page by editing the header or footer of your WordPress theme. This can be done from the WordPress admin page. You can view the information about your traffic at the Google Analytics site. There is a wealth of information. In some ways, it's too much information and can be hard to make sense of it at first. In time, you'll become more familiar with the technology, but the confusion people often experience is one reason why I like to use AW Stats. AW Stats looks at your web server's log files to determine who has visited, so it's extremely accurate. With Google Analytics, a visitor might not be counted if they quickly leave the page before it had time to load completely. AW Stats will still count the visit. AW Stats is also easy to read. It shows you how many monthly, daily, and hourly visitors you've had, your top 10 visited pages, the operating systems and browsers your visitors use, and what sites are sending you traffic. To get to your AW Stats page, go to your web hosting control panel. It will typically be found under the Logs section. Chapter 5, Email List Services. An email list service lets you send out emails to a large list of people. If you're trying to send email to a large group of people, you know how difficult it can be to keep track of all of them. And if someone wants to be added or removed from the list, you have to do it all manually. This is why email list services were created. These services automate the process of adding and removing users from your list so you can focus on the content of your emails. They can also help you design a nicely formatted newsletter or schedule when to send the email. Features to consider: delivery rate, autoresponders, restrictions on the types of email you can send, analytics, whether the email was read or not, email templates, embeddable sign-up forms, single or double opt-in. Recommended, MailChimp. The primary reason I recommend MailChimp is because it's free for up to 2,000 subscribers. You don't even need a credit card when you sign up. It's the only email service provider I know of that has a free tier. MailChimp is a good service, but having the free option pushes it over the top. AWeber is a popular service that offers a $1 trial, but that only lasts for 30 days, then goes up to $19 a month. MailChimp's offer lasts until you break the 2,000 subscribers mark. You should be aware that the free service doesn't have all of the features of the paid plans. A major missing feature is the lack of autoresponders, but other features like email client testing and delivery by time zone are missing too. Autoresponders are a really useful way to set up a series of emails to go out to subscribers automatically. They're useful enough that it may be worth paying for the lowest paid tier to get it. You can read more on their pricing page. Chapter 6, Selling Digital Products. Many businesses sell digital products like ebooks, audio and video recordings, or screencasts. A lot of sites use PayPal, but I prefer taking credit cards directly. It makes you seem more professional, and it's not nearly as expensive as it once was because you no longer need a merchant account. E-commerce services have been cropping up in the past few years, and it's good news for you. Stand to Make shows you how the fees from various e-commerce providers work out based on your product's price and the quantity you expect to sell each month. Features to consider: security, fees, monthly or per transaction, coupon codes, affiliate tracking, subscriptions, how often you're paid, international support, fraud protection, and PCI certification. Recommended, Gumroad. Gumroad lets you sell virtually any digital product to your visitors, including ebooks, artwork, streaming video, audio files, and software. And you're charged a fixed fee per transaction, 5% plus 25 cents per transaction, even if your streaming videos take up a lot of bandwidth. Behind the scenes, Gumroad uses Stripe, a relatively new service that is disrupting the e-commerce market, enabling businesses to easily accept credit card payments. I love Stripe, and Gumroad takes care of the rest of the work, like limiting access to your products. To give you an idea of how easy it is, when I set up an account with Gumroad, I had a product for sale within 5 minutes. That still amazes. Chapter 7. If you send out invoices manually, you know how much of a hassle it can be to keep track of them. There are literally hundreds of services to help you keep track of payments and invoicing, but the one I like most is BlinkSale. Recommended, BlinkSale. BlinkSale costs $15 a month for unlimited customers and invoices. Most of the other invoicing services limit the number of customers or invoices and often cost more than $15 a month. The other thing I love about BlinkSale is that they let you use Stripe to accept credit card payments. You can send an invoice to your client who can click on the pay button in the email and pay right away with their credit card. BlinkSale also lets you set up recurring invoices, which could be used for any service that charges a monthly fee. Incidentally, Stripe can be used on its own to do recurring payments, but it's intended for developers and can be a little complicated to use directly. Chapter 8, Extras. That's it for the major services, but there are a few other solutions to cover before we're through. Recording audio, Audacity. Have you ever wanted to record something for your customers for a course or podcast? Audacity is a free piece of software that works on Windows, Mac, and Linux. You can use it to record anything you want, then export it as an MP3. Recording your screen, Jing. Sometimes people don't understand what they read or hear, but the light turns on when they see it. Recording your screen is a great way to reach visual learners. Jing is simple and easy to use, works on Windows and Macs, but limits your screencasts to 5 minutes. Office Suite, LibreOffice. Microsoft Office is the king of the hill, but it's not cheap. LibreOffice is free, and while it doesn't have all of the features of Office, it's a solid replacement for creating documents, spreadsheets, and presentations. Chapter 9, Conclusion. I hope this ebook has been helpful. As you know, the world of technology is constantly changing. It's possible some details have changed. If you come across an inaccuracy or if I've made a mistake, please let me know. If you have any questions at all, please email me at dan@techmadeplain.com. I'd love to hear from you. My services. Do you need tech help? I can help you one-on-one to answer questions, show you how to use a piece of software, or help you get past a tech problem. If you're interested in removing your tech roadblocks, sign up for a free 30-minute phone call at techmadeplain.com to see how I can help. I'll call anywhere in the world, and I've been told the 30-minute call alone was worth paying for. This comes at no cost or obligation to you, and I'm not the kind of guy to pressure you or to do a hard sell. I'm here to help, plain and simple. Chapter 10, Appendix. A note about affiliate links. This isn't the typical note you often see about affiliate links. You know, the ones that assure you I would have recommended these services anyway, even though I'll be paid if you sign up for them. I've thought long and hard about whether to use affiliate links, and I just don't feel good about it. In case you're not familiar with how they work, affiliate links are a way for a company to reward people for referring customers to them. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the idea on principle, but what often happens is people end up promoting companies based on how much they pay rather than the merits of the service. This is especially true with web hosting because the referral fees are so generous. For example, HostGator pays $50 per referral and Bluehost pays $65. I've used both services, and if I could only recommend one, I would choose HostGator. But you can imagine how easy it would be, even with good intentions, to recommend Bluehost. It's still a good service, and I'd make an extra $15. No harm, no foul, right? But what if another service isn't that good, but the payout is huge? Rather than focusing on the quality of the service, it's easy to let the size of the payout begin to decide recommendations. Please don't get me wrong, both web hosting services are completely fine, and just because someone is using affiliate links doesn't mean they're doing anything shady. The issue is that I want to be completely transparent without any ulterior motives behind my recommendations. Just to be abundantly clear, and at risk of repeating myself, I'm not suggesting that someone who uses affiliate links is trying to trick you in any way. All I'm saying is it's easy to recommend a service more readily if it pays well. It may not even be a conscious decision. The appeal of the service may be increased subconsciously when they learn of the higher payout, making them more likely to recommend it. And with that said, try searching for web hosting review sites and you'll see what I mean. It's virtually impossible to tell if the positive reviews are from legitimate users or people trying to cash in on the affiliate earnings. Long story short, I'm not using affiliate links. I'm giving up a potential source of income, but I don't want to deal with a potential conflict of interest. Plus, it's a relief not to have to manage all the affiliate logins and links. They can be a real hassle. What I love most about this decision is that I don't have to reassure you of my intentions. I have no reason to recommend anything other than what I feel is best for your business, and that feels great.